Well, good morning and welcome to the Wayne Eddy Affair on your radio station. This is the 195.1 FM and, of course, for almost 50 years, 1080 on your AM dial, broadcasting live from our studios in downtown Northfield, Minnesota on Division at 2nd Street, right across from the city's library. It's a beautiful morning. If you like sun, we have plenty of sun on this Friday, February 9th, and the year is 2018. And, of course, our Friday show is limited to 1 hour. And I have a very young lady in studio right now by the name of Courtney Cook. And, Courtney, welcome to the
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You're sounding good. You got the mic right where it should be.
Perfect.
Now, here's the question. When I have guests on the air, which is probably 5 days a week for over 10 years, I've had the opportunity to interview 1,500 or more different people. And generally speaking, I talk to individuals that are a lot older than you.
Mm-hmm.
And they have more to talk about because, you know, they went to high school in the 50s or 60s or 70s or 80s and had different jobs and do different things and accomplish things. But you're just a young lady, and you've got something going for you that you want to promote. And it, I found it kind of interesting. I think I read about it on Facebook or something. And I thought, hey, that person would be interesting. And then when I talked to you, I said, uh-oh. This lady is a pretty young woman. And then when you told me that the time to come to KYMN Radio couldn't interfere you with your classes, so evidently you must be a student.
Yes, I am a senior at the University of Minnesota.
And that sounds interesting. What are you doing that's so unique for a woman that's about to graduate from the U of M?
Well, I do run a company called Millennial Media Light. Basically, I saw kind of like a gap between marketers wanting to reach millennials but not necessarily knowing how to or how to get the message across. So I kind of wanted to bridge that gap. And I had experience working in social media before. I worked for other agencies. So I wanted to kind of help with smaller businesses because a lot of people will kind of push off social media because they think it's going to be such a big initial investment or, I mean, any type of digital marketing. But I wanted to make a more affordable option for people who wanted to get their message out there.
Well, you're looking at a guy that doesn't get it. And I very rarely read Facebook. As a matter of fact, I was sitting out in the car when I came here, and I just garbage because I'm just not into that. I'm not into I like to text.
Yes.
Although I like to use the microphone, and of course that screws things up.
Yeah.
And my daughter she's 40, I believe. She just roars when I send off a text message by way of microphone. For example, I have a prosthetist. And when I say that I'm going to my prosthetist, it comes out, I'm going to my prostitute. So it's, but that's about it. And I'm learning a little bit to have the patience to text and all that. But my major question is, what is a millennial?
Well, millennials are people who were born in the 90s and early 2000s and 80s. And basically, millennials are actually the largest generation living in America. So most people you meet are millennials. They're not as young as a lot of people think that they are. We're also the most diverse generation as well, racially, pretty much any way, we are the most diverse generation. So it's a lot of people definitely generalize millennials, but we definitely can't generalize such a huge population.
Well, help me out. I have a granddaughter that was born in 1999, and at 18, she knows everything.
Yep.
And I think that's the attitude a man my age gets about millennials is that they think they know everything.
Yes.
And, of course, people my age have been through a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so, obviously, we've had more experience at life.
Yes.
So what age are we talking? Are we talking the 20s, 30s, maybe even the 40s?
not the 40s, okay. 20s and 30s.
People in their
your
20s?
Your granddaughter would be the cutoff year.
Okay.
1999 is the cutoff year.
Okay.
Actually, there's some debate on that. Some people say it's 2002. That's why I said early 2000s. But generally, 1999 is the last.
So now the people that are in their 20s and 30s are savvy in regards to social media.
Mm-hmm.
I know that from experience, and I find it somewhat disturbing that I've seen on Facebook, somebody sent it to me,
mm-hmm.
and it had a dozen pictures of people congregating, sitting in the park, sitting in a restaurant,
yeah.
A motel room, and they're all using their phones,
mm-hmm.
sitting right next to each other. They're probably texting. Who knows? I know my granddaughter, I think, had to be my granddaughter. I had a friend, and I was driving them up to see Disney Ice Capes or whatever you call it,
mm-hmm.
and there was no conversation. And I'm going, well, aren't you girls going to talk on the way up to the cities? And,
mm-hmm.
and they said, oh, yeah, we will. And I said, well, what are you doing back there? And so we were texting. I said, why would you text to each other when you're sitting next to each other? Because we don't want you to know what we're talking about.
Oh.
And that goes on all the time.
Yeah.
At the dinner table and all that. So millennials are probably disrespected somewhat by people my age and somewhat younger.
Yes. Oh,
that
yes.
You're just not social enough in a human way. You're more into media electronics.
I definitely think there is sort of a disconnect when it comes to relationship building with my generation. It's not necessarily that we are less social, because we are really social, but it's more of just kind of, I feel like, that genuine connection and interaction with people. A lot of people don't know how to make small talk anymore. A lot of people have a harder time just building that initial connection, but I do think that people still do have strong relationships and everything and are connecting with each other. It's just definitely changed a lot with technology in place, for
well,
sure.
I can do small talk. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. Say, did you know that there's a place in Northfield called the Quarterback Club Restaurant?
No,
did you
not.
Know that it's a family restaurant?
I did not.
Did you know that they've been in business in town for 50 years and they're locally owned and locally managed?
No, but that's great.
Do you know that they have the best baby back barbecued ribs in town with madness of taste oozing all over them? Did you know that they are the only place that has flame broiled burgers? And did you know that they're very, very popular with their roasted chicken? Dine in?
I did not.
Or take out? The Quarterback Club right here in Northfield, Minnesota for about 50 years now. Isn't that great?
Yeah, that is fun.
Okay, there's a little small talk about a favorite place of mine. I'm talking to a woman by the name of Courtney Cook. She is a senior at the University of Minnesota, and she is introducing people to social media and marketing. Now, have you ever watched the TV show Shark Tank?
Yes, I have.
Okay, now when they talk, it's sometimes over my head in regards to how they new entrepreneurs market their products and how hire me because I've got this and I've got that in regards to selling things on the internet, I guess you say. Is that what you're into, or are you into trying to find sponsors to be on the blogs or whatever?
Well, I kind of do a variety of digital marketing services. I'm the one that helps mainly with content. A lot of my clients come to me to help push content out on their social media channels, but I can also help with website design, SEO, like moving your ranks up higher in the Google search page.
You can't use acronyms or initials. I don't know what you just said.
Search engine optimization is it's and it's basically just like when you type in Google, like marketing, you're looking for marketing help, and the first thing that pops up has good SEO. So it's just making sure you're higher up on the ranks so people can find you.
And now I know that in the phone book they do it alphabetically.
Mm-hmm.
And I know of a guy that I don't know him, but I read about him years ago that is he spells a last name like Z-Z-I-G-I. And back in those days, you'd say, look me up in the phone book, I'm the last name. Mm-hmm. That's marketing, I thought. Mm-hmm. Well, now, how do you get to be, I know that I've done a search, and how do you attain that first position when you're doing your search? Is it alphabetically? Is it the most recent? Or is it the most money paid? Or what is that?
It's none of those things. It's basically Google ranks them by relevance. So relevance can be measured by a lot of different ways. One of the ways would be how many keywords are on their website. So just going through and making sure they have good keywords and also backlinks on their website. It's a little complex to explain, but also it is paid dollars as well. If you spend more money on Google AdWords, you will come up higher in the search ranks, and people will find you a little bit easier.
You said more money on AdWords?
Yes.
What is that?
Google AdWords is basically, if I wanted someone, I guess with my business, I would try to find people who are looking for help with social media. So if I wanted social media to be my AdWord, I would pay Google a certain amount of times per click I get for that particular AdWord. So if someone typed in social media and got to my website from that, I would pay. I don't know what the exact cost is for the social media, but probably around 20 cents per click.
Oh, whoa. Mm-hmm. Well, if you get a million clicks, what are you going to do?
Well, that's the, I mean, that's kind of part of the thing.
You know, you're telling me something that I didn't know, and this is why I invited you to come in today. And believe me, my audience right now are probably nodding their head like, yeah, give me more. I thought that that people that were on the Internet and were interesting and got clicks or whatever you call them, by way of their blogs. I had a couple in here that did jokes on each other, and they're from California, and they were getting paid because people were going to their site to see what's up next, like putting a tarantula on his wife's face while she was sleeping. And, you know that some of that stuff's made up, but people watch it, and so they throw an ad in there, and then the fella and his wife get make a living doing that. And now you told me something I didn't know, and that is you pay Google so you can find first reference when you're looking up any particular thing, like attorney or bicycle shop or whatever.
Pretty much anything,
So what are keywords? Let's do the radio station. It might be easy, okay?
Okay.
Okay, the radio station is KYMN.
Mm-hmm.
95 point, should I write this down? So,
oh, I think I got it.
Okay, KYMN radio, AM, FM, the one, 95.1, 1080, Northfield, Minnesota. Wayne Eddy Affair. Okay.
So you just said all the keywords you would want to pay to have put on, pretty much. And you could do something like talk show, host, radio, morning, just like lots of different things. I mean, you can pretty much do anything for keywords. You're just trying to guess what people would be typing in to find you.
So what I described to you is a hunt by individuals that already have some association with the radio station.
Yes.
Now,
yeah.
if I put down morning talk show, that would bring up
lots of different stuff.
Lots and lots of people, wouldn't it? But if I put morning talk show KYMN, then it would go right to us.
Yes.
And radio stations are probably easy because they have a certain identification.
Yeah.
How about if it's a car dealer? Now, car dealerships sometimes have the same names in different states. And, you know, maybe a TM here in Minnesota, but not in California. So what if it's downtown Chevrolet? Then you type that in, and would you get a ton of downtown Chevrolets?
Yeah, you definitely could get, but a lot of people, especially for car dealerships, would search car dealerships near me. So that most important thing for a car dealership business would be to be on Google Maps and also have Google ratings. And you do have to pay a little bit extra to show up on the side. So when someone types in car dealerships near me, you actually show up on the maps. And I think that would probably be the best way for people to find car dealerships. But it really depends per things. There's so many different things you can do with SEO to try and get up on the top of the page. Yeah, it really depends on...
Once again, my guest is Courtney Cook. She's a senior at the University of Minnesota and is specializing in millennial media social. Those three words would probably get to you. So when I sometimes use Google Map, it'll say, have little arrows showing that you are near a restaurant, or you are near a service station, or you are near... whatever. Do those people pay to have that little arrow pointing at where their business is located?
You do have to pay. And then, to be on Google Maps, you have to connect. I know it's kind of hard to explain, but you have to connect your website through Google, and then you would have to put your location on there. And it could be free to be on Google Maps, but in order to be sorted for the relevance for Google Maps, they would have to pay a little bit.
And a little bit is by each click.
It really can depend, but for the most part, people do add words and pay per click.
Okay, so let's say that, by the way, again, Courtney Cook, my guest, where do you live, by the way?
St. Paul.
St. Paul?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yes.
Whereabouts?
I'm in the Lexington, Dale, University kind of area, right by McAllister.
Yep, Groveland. Yeah. I used to live on Marshall and Hamlin.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's really close to me.
Yeah, that's where, right across from Concordia, and that big gas station there.
Yep.
That used to be called Tracy's Gas Station when I was even younger than you. And I lived in a dump upstairs. It was a house built next to the gas station, and in the backyard were big tanks of gas and oil and all that. And the upstairs was a dump, but downstairs had, if you looked in the windows, you see tires all over the place. And it was, they cleaned that corner up really nice. And when I'd go to bed at night, I had this tiny little bedroom on the second floor, and there was a sign that was perpendicular to the building. And it flashed, gas for less, gas for less, right in my window every night.
Oh, my goodness.
Crazy things you remember. I was a teenager at the time. Our guest is Courtney Cook, and so we now know and establish. Are you from St. Paul originally?
I'm actually from Colorado originally.
Oh, well, we're.
Yes, I moved here when I was 6 years old, so it's not like I was in Colorado for too long. Okay. But, yeah, I was in the Eagan area up until about college, and now I'm in St. Paul.
So you live independent of your parents?
Yes.
Well, good for you.
Thank you.
And what part of Colorado?
I was in Littleton. It's, like, right on the outskirts of Denver.
Okay. I've been through the mountains there a lot. My wife and I like to go to Colorado in October and enjoy the mountains. 21 minutes after 10 o'clock on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN Radio out of Northfield, Minnesota. I'm talking to a real live millennial, and she is a woman that helps people get social, not science, so,
what, media.
Social media underway. Now, you're dealing with people probably older than you, I would assume.
Yes. Okay. I do actually have a millennial as a client, but the rest of my clients are not millennials.
And how do you find them? How do they find you?
I've gotten a lot of my clients through networking events, referrals. I have gotten a couple people from social media and my website as well.
And you see me writing things down here?
Yes.
And if you wonder what I'm writing, it's little things to remind me about, like Courtney Cook, a millennial, anybody born after 99, senior at the U of M, social media expert. Is that a lucrative position, or is it something that has to take off after you get your certificate or graduation from the U of M and then go into individual business?
Yeah, I do think that having a degree definitely helps with credibility, but social media, you don't necessarily need a degree to be good at it. I learned everything I know about social media through working through agencies. I worked for the Modern Foundation, and they're really great at what they do. They taught me a lot.
Tell me about the Modern Foundation.
They used to be called SMC Pros, but they're a social media agency, and they definitely deal with pretty big clients. But they're analytics-driven, so they focus a lot on results, and they are really great at what they do, and I learned from some of the best people out there.
What do they do in layman's terms?
They do all things social media. Imagery, ads, landing pages, pretty much anything.
And do they, when you say they have large clients, are you talking like General Mills or 3M or don't? Or
they did actually have a 3M client, but okay. I'm not sure how much I'm supposed to. I'm no longer an employee.
And I would imagine most of those companies have their own IT department. Did I say that right?
Yeah, I don't know if it would necessarily be called IT, but a lot of people that work at the companies are pretty technologically advanced. They got good tech skills. So
so you worked for that company, and then
yes.
You obviously worked elsewhere. What was the name of that company?
Modern Foundation.
Okay. And then you went to where?
And then I went and worked at Space 150 for a little bit, and they're another ad agency as well.
What's it called?
Space 150.
And what's the catch behind that?
They do digital marketing as well, and they worked with really big clients like Nike, Buffalo Wild Wings, Cambria. They have a couple different locations throughout the country. So they're a really big agency. And I actually worked as a community manager for them, responding to people on social media complaints and stuff like that. So I definitely learned a lot working through agencies, and I pretty much learned everything I know about social media from that. But I have taken online courses. I am Google Analytics and Google AdWords certified. So learned a lot of it online, and I actually haven't learned anything about social media from college, surprisingly.
Yeah.
But I've learned a lot about just communication in general and messaging and reaching the right market and stuff like that, which I think could be very applicable. So,
when you say you worked at Space 150, you indicated that you worked with the people that may have complaints about something. What does that mean?
Well, it's basically like if someone were to get something. Buffalo Wild Wings is one of the clients that I worked for, and if someone complained that they got like a plastic fork in their chicken wing or something, I would be the one that would be responding to them, like, sorry, reach our team here.
Do you have a script that they present to you to respond to complaints?
Yes, I did have a script for Buffalo Wild Wings, a pretty loose script for Cambria, a couple other scripts, but yeah.
And do you, like, say, we're sorry that that happened, we're going to mail you a gift certificate for $25?
No.
You can't make those decisions, huh?
No.
Okay. I slipped and fell in a restaurant, and when I was on crutches, I'm amputee, and I was just one-legged at the time, and I slipped and fell, and it hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very uncomfortable, and I asked the people to give me the name of their home office, and I wanted to claim that I was really disappointed because they didn't have one of those yellow things that said wet, and it was a red stone. I couldn't tell it was wet, and bam, it just went down. And so they gave me the name of the place, and the end result was they said, you said, and that's that. And if you want to contact our lawyers, I thought they'd say, I'm sorry that that happened. Are you okay? Here's a gift certificate for a pie or something. But they didn't. And I thought, well, that's, you know, I'm not going to get into that.
Yeah.
I didn't go on Facebook and publish their name and diss them or anything like that. Can you get in trouble doing that? if you complain against a corporate business about something that happened?
No, you can't get in trouble. Well, I mean, I guess it depends on your messaging and what you put out there. Because you can get in trouble if you use vulgar language or inappropriate picture or something like that. You can get flagged by Facebook and get it taken down. But it's not against any rules to complain towards corporate. That's definitely something you could have put online, and it could have been shared, and it could have been made into a bigger thing, and they would have had to actually deal with it. So a lot of people have been using social media to hold companies, hold companies accountable to a lot of the negative customer service that they've had, because people come in by the numbers and share it by the numbers, and it's something they have to address rather than just someone slipping and maybe calling them back.
I could use social media to get a free pie,
Yeah,
because it was a painful situation, mm-hmm. and I wasn't thinking lawsuit at all. I just thought maybe they should put the sign out. Well, he said, she said, so that didn't go anywhere. Isn't there a place on the internet where you can rate businesses and rant and rave if you want?
There's so many places to do that. I mean, Google is one of them. It's probably one of the most popular. Yelp. You can actually leave reviews on most people's social media sites. Facebook, for the most part, you can leave reviews on. So there really is a lot of ways that you can leave reviews online. Yeah.
Once again, my guest is Courtney Cook, and she's a senior at the University of Minnesota, and she is a millennial that knows all about social, not all, you're still learning, I'm sure, but more than any of me myself and people I socialize with. I think, seen swear words on Facebook.
Yeah.
Where they actually print the most vulgar words.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to me I've seen some place where they're a star instead of the word. What's the rules and regulation in regards to texting and email and Facebook in regards to that vulgar language?
With email and texting, it's not regulated. You can text or email anything you want, for the most part. I mean, but on social media, there are different rules. You can swear on social media. I mean, even brands and companies could swear if they wanted to, but I wouldn't recommend that. It's mainly just on how offensive the content is, and if it's reported multiple times, Facebook reviews it and then deletes the post if it's causing too big of an issue. So I guess it kind of depends a little bit, but there's definitely a lot of regulations.
How about pornography?
That's not allowed on Facebook or any social media site.
Okay. That is a search engine that you'd have to use for...
Yes.
You can't... Mm-hmm. Well, how come you hear about all these teenagers sending nude pictures of each other back and forth?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. This would be Snapchat that people use that for, or just the text message, which is not regulated. You can post anything on that or send anything on Snapchat. And the thing about Snapchat is once you click on the picture, it disappears after about 10 seconds, and it's deleted forever. So that's why it's used for that so than other.
But I've been taught that anything and everything you ever do on the internet does not disappear. It's there forever. It can be found.
Yes. I do not know what Snapchat does as far as, like, the data mining and keeping those images and stuff, but it'd be pretty hard to get the image after it's deleted, but people can obviously just screenshot their phones and get pretty much any image off of Snapchat. It's just a matter of if they do it within the seconds before it disappears, because then you'd have to reach Snapchat in their Snapchat quarters and try to dig through the data to try and find that one particular image, which would most likely never happen.
What would be the easiest commercial business to assist, and which would be the most difficult to be and your whole point is to be able to get them at the top of a list,
mm-hmm.
one, and to have good information in the shortest amount of words, I would assume, that
yeah.
gets a message mm-hmm. across. What would be the most difficult that you've had, and the one that was pretty easy because it may be unique or whatever?
The most difficult one that I've had was actually worked with the client that did money mailers, and didn't get the right, I guess not right results, but didn't get the results that I wanted for social media. And I think that's a lot of his clients weren't looking on social media to find
what
help
is with. A money mailer.
It's direct mail. It's like coupons sent out through the mail, and companies can pay to have their spot put in the coupon mailer. So it's
on your iPhone or your computer.
No, this is actually mail sent out.
Oh.
Yeah, and I did the social media for him, and that was a client where it was a little bit more difficult, and I think that was mainly just because a lot of his clients weren't looking necessarily for direct marketing on social media, but I've worked with a lot of companies that are in the home improvement field, and I've had excellent results with that, and it's definitely, they've gotten a lot of value from social media.
Do you measure your success by the number of likes or by the number of people who say, I found you on
mm-hmm.
Facebook?
No, I actually do not. That is one way to do it, but I don't think that's the most effective way to measure it. I actually try to measure based off of how many people drive traffic to their website for the most part, because that's the most important when it comes to social media, and also what the engagement rate was. How many people actually engaged with the post instead of reading, like just scrolling past and not reading it. So, I mean, like would be a part of that engagement, but there's more ways to engage on it. You can tell by how many people clicked the photo and read it and stuff like that. So engagement rate's probably the one that I use.
I've got one for you. You can help me out and tell me why. I have been suckered maybe 2-3 times
mm-hmm.
with a news story that's on Facebook. And it is, it'll say, like, Hollywood actress scratches Pope's face. I just made that up, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay, you go, wow, a Hollywood actress scratched the Pope's face?
Mm-hmm.
And so you hit it, and you start reading and say, if you've ever had skin abrasions, a nice soft skin, blah, blah, blah. They sucker you into their advertising.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Now, do you do that?
No, of course not. That's clickbaiting, and that wouldn't necessarily be effective if you were actually trying to get people to buy your product or your service, because then they would be a little bit mad that you were deceiving about it. I think it's definitely important to be transparent on social media. That's why I encourage everybody to leave up all of their reviews and really just not be so fakey, and especially with the clickbaiting thing, I think that's really wrong. It wastes people's time, and oftentimes they were clicking it for another reason, so they're not actually even going to be interested.
But do the percentages come in? If you have a really great clickbaiter,
mm-hmm.
if that's what you call it, and you get 4 million people to look at it, and 35 reply and buy your product, who benefits financially from that? Is it Facebook, or is it...
Mainly the people that are doing clickbait are trying to get just people to go to their website because they have ads on them and they make money off the ad dollars. So they are not even actually trying to sell anything.
Okay.
They're just trying to get ad money for them. But that's the case that
and
you get most
of
the
time. And if
that
ad is about, let's say, a toothpaste, then the number of people that went there would set how much money the toothpaste company is giving the clickbaiter.
Mm-hmm,
okay.
Exactly.
Well, that sounds like a good profession, actually, to do that.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason why a lot of people do it, but it's definitely important now more than ever to be really media literate and check your sources, especially before sharing things, and just because there is a lot of, it's now more than easier. Now more than ever, it's easier to fabricate an article, make it look real, and make people believe it when it's not actually. So,
fake news.
Exactly. So it's really important to check those sources. Just if there's any spelling errors, it's not real news. you know, just things like that. Like, just being media literate helps a lot with that.
Well, what if a millennial comes up to you and says, I am not happy, I don't have anybody in my life, mm-hmm. and I want to meet men or I want to meet women that I would find compatible with me?
Yes.
Now, we know those as dating services or whatever. Mm-hmm. Do you work in that field and steering people somewhere or the other?
I'm definitely not somebody that you would want to come to for matchmaking. No. Okay. But Tinder is definitely something that I feel like the most people in my generation use to try and find dates and stuff. So
now, I've heard of Tinder.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen people comment on it in a humorous way, like it's not good.
Yeah.
What is Tinder?
It's basically it's a dating app that you can use where if I were on there, someone would see a picture of my face, and they could either swipe right if they liked me, or swipe left if they didn't. And then if I saw their face and I swiped right and I liked them and they also liked me, we're now a match and we can talk to each other on there. And that's pretty much the way it goes. So it's basically just swiping left and right on people's faces until you match up with some of them and start some conversations.
It sounds like it might be a little bit creepy.
Yes, it can be very creepy. Yeah.
It's 22 minutes before 11 o'clock on the Wayne Eddy Affair, and we'll be back with our guest, Courtney Cook, in just a moment. But first of all, we have to send a message. The best way to advertise is radio.
This Valentine's Day, thrill your special someone with a gift from Russell Stover Chocolates. They specialize in fresh strawberries hand-dipped in luscious chocolate and packaged in beautiful red heart boxes. Russell Stover chocolate-covered strawberries are the most romantic Valentine's gift you can give. Russell Stover is located in Owatonna next to Cabela's, just north of Northwest 26th Street and I-35. They'll have extended hours through Valentine's Day, so stop by. She'll be so glad you did.
Residential or commercial, Cannon Valley Water in Dundas is the place to call for water. Whether it's a complete water conditioning system or just salt delivery and filters, Cannon Valley Water can take care of it. And Cannon Valley Water can also deliver Candy Yohai premium water right to your house or business at great rates, too. Chippewa Springs is as pure today as it was when we first tested it over a century ago, and is proudly distributed by Cannon Valley Water. Pickups are now located at 609 Stafford Lane in Dundas, just behind Aldi. Call Cannon Valley for your water today.
Oh, well, we're back on the Wayne Eddy Affair at 10:39:47, the exact time on this Friday morning. It is the 9th day of February, and the year is 2018, and I have a millennial in studio, Courtney Cook, and she is a woman that is able to work with folks on social media. And a millennial, we've established, mm-hmm. is anybody born in after 1999.
Before 1999.
Before
1980 to 1999.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
That's just 20 years.
Well, I actually think it's the, I'm not sure the exact start year, but it might be in 1970 to.
Well, then, so we get 20. They're 38 years old.
Yeah, that's. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, they're not kids like you. Excuse me.
Well, I'm the youngest of the millennials, pretty much. Okay. The year below me is the youngest, so I'm about as young as it gets.
So are people 38 years old, pushing 40, pretty savvy when it comes to social media?
Yeah, they actually are pretty savvy when it comes to social media, and they've been around the technology long enough for. They have gotten a good grasp on it, and they're young enough to where they were around when it was just introduced and got to learn it right away, so they are definitely more experienced.
Well,
in that.
That's important that people know what a millennial is.
You
know, am I in that category, or am I just out of it, or will I enter it? Have you ever heard the expression snowflake?
Yes.
And what's your definition of a snowflake?
A snowflake is definitely, I mean, just based off of the kind of the rhetoric I've seen on Facebook, snowflake is someone that's kind of a crybaby, needs a safe space, is easily offended.
Lives in the basement of their parents?
Yes. Unmotivated, just kind of, I don't know, entitled a little bit. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm glad. thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I'm concerned about is that I'm not asking the right questions in reference to what you're doing for a mm-hmm. living. And as an educational reason, that's why I invited you to come here, because mm-hmm. there are a lot of people my age or a lot younger
yeah.
that aren't as savvy as the mm-hmm. millennials are. And what would you recommend to people in regards to having a sense of, like, I don't want to get into all of this yelping, or I think yelping is something, right? And
yeah.
Facebook and clickbaiting and all of this stuff. Well, what would you recommend for people to do that maybe their kids or grandkids got them a phone other than a flip phone for Christmas?
Oh, okay. So if you want to get started, you're a little bit older, a little late to the technology game, just got a phone, I would recommend going on Facebook. I think that's definitely the most user-friendly social media site to get active on if you wanted to meet people on there. There's actually also an older demographic on Facebook as well. Of course, there's young people on there, but there is actually a decent amount of older people on there as mm-hmm. well.
Do you think that there's a problem that will arise in regards to Facebook and Google in much control of the people that own phones?
Oh, okay, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, we even saw some of this this past election with Facebook allowing ads to come from Russia, and that wasn't really monitored as well, and that could have had a sway in the election. I'm not here to talk about politics or anything, but they definitely do play a role. I mean, I get most of my news from Facebook. I know a lot of people get most of their news from Facebook. It's actually way more than you'd think. So they do shape people's opinions on things and their views on things. So I think there's a lot of power that is held in being able to kind of control the messaging that is seen to a majority of the people.
I think that some of the main street media, you know, the big corporate ones mm-hmm. out of New York, etc., I think a lot of those people get their news out of Facebook.
Yeah.
But thank you for laughing at that. At 16 before, it is 11 o'clock. My guest, Courtney Cook from St. Paul, senior at the University of Minnesota. She has her own business. Did you use Kickstart or any of those platforms? I'm using great words, aren't I?
Yeah, you are.
to get yourself going?
No, I funded my business completely. It was a pretty low startup cost, so I didn't really necessarily need a big initial investment. So
well, you had to have a computer.
Yes.
And you had to have a connection to an internet.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to have space to do it in. And then you had to have a chair.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
And then I just had to pay the legal fees to file it for an LLC, and that's pretty much about it, yeah.
Oh, you have to do that.
Yes.
Because you're becoming an independent businesswoman, and you have to pay taxes.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
Are you rich?
No.
Are you anticipating?
I would like to be. It's definitely not something that I place all of my... it's not necessarily my main goal in life to be extremely wealthy, but I definitely want to be financially well off to where I can take a vacation every year and not have to worry about so much about, I guess, just being financially independent, like not having to worry too much about.
If you had a client that you wanted and you approached and you wanted to sell them about your services,
mm-hmm.
and you said, you know what you can do? You can go to KYMN, 1080 AM, mm-hmm. Wayne Eddy Affair, and listen to my interview. well, there
yeah.
could be something
mm-hmm.
in there. What would you like to say now in regards to you got a big client sitting in front of you that could bring you in $1,000 a month or something?
Yeah, so I would say that if you're looking to get started on social media and you're not necessarily, and that doesn't necessarily even need to be social media, I'll just say digital marketing in general. I work with a lot of startups and a lot of smaller companies, but I also do work with a little bit of the medium level to large level companies as well. So I work with a variety of clients, variety of services. You don't have to be super big in order to gain a following on social media and gain an audience that you can engage with. So I'm pretty much here to just help you grow that audience and sell your products and get your message out there, whatever that may be.
Okay, here comes a question. Are you ready for this one?
Yes.
So I'm giving you this platform to talk about your business, whether you get any people hitting, it's doubtful, but hopeful. So can you return the favor and put me on a platform? The radio show
for
here?
Sure. I'll make a blog post about this. I actually already put this on my Facebook as well.
Okay.
There's a post there that talked about this and had the logo for the radio station and everything
really?
On it. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. And I don't know that. Would I get that on Facebook?
No, you would not have gotten that on Facebook, but...
Okay. I would have been taken aback.
Yeah.
Like, hey, what is this? Oh, okay. Courtney Cook is my guest on KYMN, and Courtney, I like to know a little bit of background of my guests, and since you're such a puppy, and you say you live in St. Paul independently, but you grew up in Eagan.
Yes.
And what did your mom and dad do for a living?
My parents have always been entrepreneurs. My dad helped started Finish Basement Company, and now he's working as a sales manager for,
whatever.
Yeah.
Anyhow, a big company.
And then, yeah, my mom's working for Pella. My mom actually started...
Pella Windows?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Is she a sales lady?
She does runs all of the home shows and everything.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. I can get where you're coming
from.
Yeah,
and she also started a nonprofit called Moms and Neighbors, which is a local charity, actually. They help all local families and single mothers and lots of, actually, like, kids in the school system that have to pay for their own rent and their own food, and they're 18 years old, working full-time, going to high school. That's the kind of the people that help. So
good.
If you're ever interested and need somewhere to donate your tax dollars to or whatever, Moms and Neighbors is definitely a good...
If a nonprofit charity came to you and said, I want you to build a bridge, or whatever you say, and you're a businesswoman, and that's what you do for a living, would you say, yes, this is going to cost this much, or would you say... I'm not going to charge you. I'll do this for nothing.
I do have a client that actually runs a nonprofit, the Shreya Dixit Memorial Foundation. They help people try to... Well, they've helped... right now, they're helping with legislation and trying to just start the conversation on distracted driving and putting an end to it. So I definitely give them discounted prices.
Well, yeah. I mean, you're in the business of distracted driving.
I know.
I don't mean that directly to you. So you went to Eagan High School?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Wait, no, I actually went to Rosemount. Sorry, my bad.
You're an Irish.
Yes.
All right. Did you enjoy Rosemount High School? Were you a nerd, or were you a cheerleader, or were you a science project lady? Or?
I was a little bit of everything. I actually was a cheerleader. I was the captain of the cheer team for the last 2 years I was there. I also did DECA, which is a business program they have there.
Yep.
Was the president of DECA for the last 2 years as well. And I started a yoga club there. I actually started an entrepreneurship club called Set for Success, and we did a little mini Shark Tank event and gave out a little scholarship. And I was involved in kind of everything there. So I really love Rosemount High School.
Okay, so you're young enough to have had fellow students that had iPhones?
Yes.
I mean, you had access to social media. Tell me about the bullying.
So there's definitely an overlap. Well, we've definitely seen our generation has more anxiety, more depression than any other generation. And there is a correlation with social media when it comes to that. It's not necessarily a causation. It could just be people who are more anxious and are do have depression are on social media more often than others, or there's less stigma about it now and more people can come forward about it. But there definitely is a correlation. I think a lot of it just comes to comparing. It's easy to compare on social media. When you see somebody that has way nicer things than you or looks way nicer than you, even though that person may be only posting the small little highlights they get throughout their week and they actually have a miserable time the other 90%, you can't really tell. So it's just way, I feel like that definitely plays a role in it.
The way I described it in my mind just now on some incidents is that they talk about you behind your back, mm-hmm. in front of you.
Yeah.
Terrible. One last break, and we're going to come back. And for those of you who don't know what it is, we're going to go fishing on the Wayne Eddy Affair.
It's the Trollhoggin' Troll coming to you live from Dresser, Wisconsin, just a few miles south of St. Croix Falls. I hear you humans sometimes like to party all night. Well, trolls party too. Come to Trollhoggin' for late night Friday night. There's live music in the Skullhoggin' Lounge. And we've got all those drinks you humans like to partake on party night. Let the party begin this Friday night and go troll.
Ski or snowboard at Trollhoggin' on Friday nights, only $20 after 9 p.m. Like Trollhoggin' on Facebook for special offers.
I love Grandpa's new home. There's so much to do.
That's right. Millstream Commons helps improve the lives of seniors through all kinds of fun activities. Personalized care from a dedicated and well-trained staff, amazing creative meals prepared fresh every day and served in a social setting, live-to-be-healthy fitness classes, private apartments with all the amenities of home, and a place to continue your relationships with family and loved ones. Millstream Commons, your vibrant life continues here.
We're back live and in color from our studios in downtown Northfield, Minnesota. We have a young lady that is a graduate of Rosemont High School, an entrepreneur ever since she was in high school, and she's a senior at the University of Minnesota. Courtney Cook is her name. She is a millennial, and she's very involved in social media and, in fact, almost makes a living at it. And I said, we're going to go fishing after the break. Fishing. I didn't understand what that meant. You know, what are they talking about going fishing? Well, I've learned since. But maybe somebody out there heard the expression and they don't know what it is. Fishing.
Like fishing with a pole and like getting a fish?
No. Fishing on the internet.
Oh, okay. I don't necessarily know what you mean by that.
Oh. Oh, wow. I know something you don't know.
Yeah.
That's when people will...
Oh, catfishing. Is that what you're talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
sorry.
Never mind. You're right again. I'm wrong. Yeah, catfishing.
Sorry, I'm like, I don't know what you mean by that. Catfishing, yeah. I mean, catfishing can be really scary. I would just suggest not meeting anybody, I don't know. It's a lot of people have been using Snapchat to combat catfishing because you can't upload a picture. You have to actually take it with your camera. So if someone was pretending to be someone else, they would have to have that person in the room and then take the picture of them. But catfishing is kind of scary a little bit.
Yeah, it's trying to sucker people into different types of things, of money, sex, and reputation.
Catfishing is when you use somebody else's picture and pretend to be them online. Yeah. Lots of times it's,
okay.
Yeah.
That's a diss somebody if it's a negative thing.
Yeah, it could be used for lots of different things, yeah. Or just people wanting to talk to somebody. I feel like a lot of times it comes from people who are too insecure about themselves, so then they try to pretend to be somebody else in order to talk to other people. Wow. But, yeah, I've even had someone who pretended to be my grandma catfish me. They made a fake profile of my grandma and sent me messages.
There's a guy on the line with a question for your guest. Do you want it? Well,
yeah.
Let's find out if I can figure this whole thing out. Push that there. Push that there and see if it's working now. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Yes, I understand you have a question for my guest, Courtney Cook.
Good afternoon. My name is Balsack D. Beghard, and I run a small convenience store out of Richfield.
Yes.
And I was wondering how I could get more people to come in and buy Slurpees. We have a good deal. 2-for-1.
Okay. use radio's the best way to go, but if you want Courtney Cook to give us your number, and she can give you a call and see if she can help you on the Main Street
Oh,
media.
This is Courtney Cook?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Am I being catfished?
Yes, my name is Bolsack D. Beghart.
Well,
oh, my gosh.
Did you want to leave a number, or does you
have a question?
Okay. All right. I think somebody's scooping around with us.
Yeah.
Which is okay. You didn't swear or anything like that. Courtney Cook? It takes me aback, too. Well, anyhow, I'm learning a great deal of information here this morning that I can put to task. And one of the things I have a problem with is, you can see my fingers,
mm-hmm.
and I just do not type very well, let alone not knowing how to type. And so I use that voice. And is there a way that you tell people how to use the microphone to send a text or a email or anything?
Yeah, just use the microphone to text app. I mean,
speak slowly and enunciate.
Speak slowly and try not to have a lot of background noise, and that's really the best way to go. But I know just maybe even getting a phone with a keyboard mm-hmm. can actually help if you're trying to learn how to like text and stuff, just because iPhones aren't necessarily that big and the keyboard isn't that big as well. Mm-hmm. So
well, I see people moving their fingers and thumbs so fast, I can't believe it. The part I like is that they guess three words of what your next word's going to be, and you just have to go up there and hit that, like the, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be,
oh, yeah.
And I'll hit T, and they'll have three, like the, two, or whatever.
Yeah.
I didn't discover that until lately.
Yeah.
Well, that's a lot easier.
It is helpful, yeah, for sure.
Well, we have a couple of minutes left here, Courtney Cook, and if you want to once again describe what the name of your business is and what you do and how they can contact you if you want.
Yeah, for sure. Well, my company's name is Millennial Media Light, and we're really focused on just trying to get organizations, corporations, small businesses, agents, pretty much anybody. If you have a message to get out there, I can help you with that. And we can help you reach your target audience and hopefully get your message across. And we can do that through social media, building websites, SEO, AdWords. We really offer a variety of digital marketing services, and you can call me at 651-955-6081, again 651-955-6081, or you can visit me at www.millennialmedialight, millennialmedialight.com. Yes,
all one word.
Mm-hmm.
LIGHT or LITE?
LITE.
Okay.
Yes.
And you said something that isn't necessary anymore, and that's www.
Yeah, I know. I guess you don't really need to put the www in there.
No, not anymore, except as a radio announcer, we love to say that word.
Yes.
W.
W, yeah.
Three syllables. W. All right. And once again, you said that you can put something together for my show. Just, you know, not an hour and a half of concentration and all.
Mm-hmm.
Just so that I'll discover it.
Yeah, for sure. I'll definitely put together a blog post, posted on my social medias and stuff, and maybe put the interview on my website.
Yeah, I have a regular guest called Dina Fessler, and she's been works with students mm-hmm. around the United States to connect with students in Afghanistan.
Oh, wow.
And she just started a blog, and she asked me some questions on what she should do and all that stuff. But